Good morning, everyone. The sun is just beginning to come up and it looks like it's going to be a beautiful day on the Mid-North Coast. I hope you and your family have had a great week, and I hope that everyone has considered what I said last week. Remember I said, Jesus saves sinners just like me. Aren't you glad that Jesus saves sinners? Well, I hope you've nailed that down through the week. I hope you're sure that if Jesus were to appear in the sky, you would sail away to spend eternity with him. Again, I hope you've got that nailed down. But for today, there's another question. Just why did God go through all the trouble to save us? Well, immediately we think about God did that because he loves us, and it's true, he does. Even Jesus said that God loved the entire world so much that he sent his son to die for us, but we know that God loves us. But we need to be careful with that, because if we focus on that too much, we'll become obsessed with it and we'll fall into the same mindset as our culture, where everything is about us. And I really don't believe that's a godly attitude. I believe that God saved us for a lot of reasons. Well, secondly, I believe God saved us for himself, or should I say, worship. You see, in Isaiah, God said that everyone who claims him to be God, he himself, God created them for his glory. You get it? And then Paul said in Romans that since everything is for him and of him and to him, then he obviously deserves all glory. So I think you would agree with that. Even in the Revelation, John wrote that everyone around the throne bowed before him and said, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power." So God really did save us for his glory. But this begs a question. Do we worship God the way he deserves? That's a pretty deep question, probably more than what we want to handle right now. So we can expect to talk about that in a couple of weeks. But for now, there's another huge reason I believe that God saved us, and we will spend the rest of our time talking about that today. But first, let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the day you've made. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for all the wonderful things that you've done for us. Now, Father, help us to understand. You did save us because you loved us. You saved us for your own worship and glory. And thirdly, there's a big reason. Help us to get our head around that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let's look at that third reason that I believe God saved us. I believe that God saved us to reach the lost. When we got saved, we were born again. We were washed clean. We were made acceptable to God. Then an amazing thing happened. We were given a brand new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." At that point, we were given the promise of eternity in heaven, and we were infused with the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. We're brand new, heaven-bound, gifted, supernaturally gifted sons and daughters of God. Can somebody say hallelujah? We're just like a brand new supercar sitting on a starting line with the motor revved. All's ready to go. The power's there. Let's go. But where are we going with our recreated life? Are we moving? So where are we supposed to go? Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 5. Paul shows us the last reason we're saved. Verses 17 and 18 again. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, listen, all things are of God, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Don't miss that. God reconciled us and brought us back to himself through Jesus. Because of Jesus, we're no longer separated from him. We can talk to him, we can walk with him, we can bow at our knees and worship him. And one of these days, our body will catch up with our spirit and we'll live with God forever in eternity. Again, can someone say hallelujah? Now let's look a little bit further. Go with me to verse number 18 for a deeper look. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Look, God brought us back and he is now giving that responsibility to us to bring others back to him through Jesus. In the next couple of verses, Paul wrote that God gave us the word of reconciliation and then he has made us ambassadors for Jesus. Come on now, we are ambassadors for Jesus to bring people to God. How are we going with that? Come on now, let's be honest. How are we going with that, bringing people back to God? You remember God saved us, he supernaturally empowered us, and then he's given us a job to do, and that job is the reconciliation of others through Jesus back to him, or bringing them to God. How are we going? Well, we may say, well, how do I do that? Well, first, we have to accept the responsibility that yes, it is our job to do that. Quit putting it off on the pastor or on some missionary. It is all of our job who named the name of Jesus as Lord and Savior. So how are we supposed to do that? Well, let's take a few hints from Jesus on how he reached people. Well, first, he said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. It was his purpose. And that purpose was to reach lost and reconcile them back to God. Now that purpose of reaching the lost has been given to us. But there's something else that Jesus said that will give us some further insight into how important it is to him to reach the lost. Go with me to Luke chapter 15, where Jesus tells a very familiar story, verses 4 through 7. And what man among you, if he has 100 sheep and lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Look, a sheep was lost, and the owner leaves all the safe ones in the fold to go out and find that one that is lost, lonely, and very much in danger. You get the point? The shepherd did not stay with those who was comfortable and safe. He left them until he found the one who was lost. You can get the analogy. You see, I think way too many of us stay amongst the comfortable, those who are safe and comfortable. Too many of us who are called stay inside and ignore the ones who are lost. But there's more to the story, and Jesus drives his point home again. When he finds the sheep that was lost, he goes home, he calls his friends, and he celebrates the fact that the one that was lost is found. Do you want to create celebration in heaven? Come on now, do you? Then reach those who are lost. And according to the Bible, the only way that you can create that kind of celebration. Lastly, Jesus gives us his perspective. He says, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 safe ones that stayed in. That's heavy. Now you know why Jesus spent his time reaching lost people. It's because they are supremely important to him. Should they be to us? So, just why did God save us? Well, again, firstly, it's because he loves us, and that's obvious. And secondly, he saved us for his own glory. The main aim of mankind is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. But there is a third and huge reason, and it is to reach those who are lost and bring them back to God. So you see, God did his part. I guess the question is, will we do our part? You see, he saved us, he gave us a home in heaven to look forward to, and he supernaturally empowered us to go out and reach the lost. Now we must do our part. Or are we like those who stayed safely in the paddock? Or maybe that supercar wrapped up in the garage with the door closed? So my question for you today is, what are you going to do with all of this? Are you going to live like Jesus? Are you going to be motivated by the same reasons that motivated him? Well, that's up to you and me. Father, I thank you for the day you've allowed us to have. Thank you for this challenge from your word. Help us to stop living for ourselves and to start living for Jesus as we were saved to do. In Jesus' name, amen.